Well, Jeff's done such a wonderful job of worship leading. He's given just about every point I wanted to make in the sermon. So if I just say amen and go and sit down, then you've had it. And he probably will guess it's about faith. And those of us who've been around a while know that Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter, because Paul talks, if it was Paul who wrote it, talks a lot about all the people of faith, or not all, but a lot of the people of faith. But I'm not going to turn to Hebrews 11 at all. That'd be a change. But I would say probably one of the greatest, if maybe not the greatest person of faith in history, was Abraham. Look what he had to go through a long life. And God told him to, you know, pack up his bags and go to another country. But he didn't tell him where it was, just said, go. So can you imagine, you know, packing up your family and your belongings and going off in a direction, not knowing where you're going? Then of course God told him to sacrifice his first son. That's an unbelievable thing for anybody to do. But of course that pictured what God himself was going to do, sacrifice his son. He tells Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a baby. And he told them when they were about 80-something, and they didn't actually have the child till they were 100. Can you imagine 100 years old, poor woman, having a baby at 100? But they were made of sterner stuff in those days, I think. And she had the baby. So those three amazing acts of faith that Abraham showed. And age is no problem for God, no barrier to anything. When I was baptized, 1971, I was 35. So I've been in the church 48 years. I got ordained as a minister. Who would ever have thought? Who would have, if somebody had said to me in the 60s, when I was taking advantage of the sexual revolution and doing all sorts of things I shouldn't have done, that I was going to be a minister of Jesus Christ? It would have been just a joke. Yeah, everybody would have laughed, including me. But there you are, I was 78 when I was ordained a minister. Can you imagine how many ministers in this world have been ordained at the age of 78, I wonder? Not many. I think James probably forgot to look how old I was before he agreed to do it. So I'm 83 and going strong. So we never know. I didn't know what God had in store for me, and none of us knows what God has in store for us. Not later today, not tomorrow. We don't know how long we're going to live. All the time, human life span is being extended, and people are finding more and more things that we're doing to harm ourselves. So we have to be prepared to follow God. You know, like Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, verse 14, the children of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, what I've always said, there's nothing so permanent as change. That's an odd way of putting it, but that's life, isn't it? You just don't know what's cropping up. You know, I lived in the same house for 25 years, renting it. Then suddenly, the owner wanted to sell it. He wanted money for his retirement home. So there was no question of him not doing it. So I had to try and find somewhere else. And after 25 years, it's a shock. There's nothing so permanent as change. Luke 1:37. So the angel's saying, for with God nothing will be impossible. So whatever is in store for us, nothing is impossible for God. Mark 10:27. Jesus says, with men it is impossible, talking about entering the kingdom. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. That's a few pages. Matthew 19:26. But we'll go back to verse 23. Jesus talking to his disciples. Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what we all want to do, isn't it? Enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Yeah, because it was an impossibility for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. And Ephesians 2, verses 5 to 8. Well, no, it's not good to start in the middle of a sentence, is it? We'll go back to verse 3. So Paul talking to the Ephesian church, or writing to the Ephesian church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What a huge statement that is. He has blessed us. We are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And over in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We are already in Jesus. How can that be? Jesus is part of the triune God, as it were, and we are in the triune God through the Spirit. We are with Jesus in the heavenly places. It's just something we can't understand. Not only is he in us, we are in him. Going on verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's another huge statement. Are we holy and without blame before him in love? No, we're not, are we? Most of the time, maybe, but not all the time. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestined us to be adopted as sons, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. His grace, which is another free gift, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And he goes on and on and on. All these things that he's given us, he's done for us already. We can have faith, because the Bible tells us, God himself tells us, he's done all these things for us already. All we have to do, if you'll forgive the expression, is stick with it. But we must grow. Ephesians 4:13, over another page, 4:13, the church is so that we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the sentence goes on, but that's our standard, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If we're going to do that, we've got to change, haven't we? There's nothing so permanent as change throughout our Christian life. Philippians 1:3-6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Paul was praying for his congregation. One of the jobs of a minister, to pray for the congregation. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in us. He's changing us. And he's going to complete it if we let him. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And leading us means change. And we've had a huge change in our doctrine, our denomination. That each of us individually has changed. You think back what you were like before you were baptized and how you are now, you'll see a change, won't you? So yes, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are going to work with us to change us, and they will complete that work by the time Jesus returns, because that's the deadline, isn't it, for us? Verses 27 to 30 there in Philippians 1. So this is one thing we have to do. Paul reckoned this. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. He obviously doesn't mean affairs the way we understand affairs. Behaviour. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We as a congregation, every congregation, and the whole body of Christ should be standing together, trying to be of one mind, not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. And verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. So we are promised suffering of different sorts. Suffering means change, doesn't it? Another way we change. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's another huge statement. How can that be possible? We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, fill our minds, to think and talk and behave like Jesus. An impossible task. But as the old saying goes, was it, if you aim for the stars, you'll reach the moon, or something like that. We have a high standard, a high goal, and that's, we just aim for it. Or I referred to earlier on Romans 8:14, the children of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2 here, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, Paul says to the Philippians, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we work out our own salvation not by our own human efforts or by keeping, you know, a whole series of legalisms or the extra 300 laws that the Jews added on to the Ten Commandments. We allow the Holy Spirit to work with us. And if we get a thought about something, you have to examine it. Is this from the Holy Spirit? Or is this something just out of my mind, my experience? But God is working in us. And he's doing it for his good pleasure. He wants us to grow. And growth means change. I've quoted it twice, so let's look at it. Romans 8. We'll go to verse 9 first. We've got a definition of a Christian. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, unless you have the Spirit of the Triune God in us, we are not Christians. And in verse 14, there's, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So being led means going somewhere, and going somewhere means change.
Nothing so permanent as change.
Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How about that? Going to be sufferings, but we have to remember, like Paul did, he said they're like rubbish. That's the word in New King James. The word in the original language that Paul wrote in was a much more down-to-earth word. Yes, sufferings. We all suffer at different times, and sometimes we can understand why we're suffering at the time. Other times you might have to wait a couple of years before you understand why God allows you to go through something. And sometimes you won't understand in this life. It just is a mystery. But we will, in the resurrection, we'll know exactly why God put us through these things. I've said it several times before, but I couldn't understand why God allowed me to have to go through a divorce that I didn't want. I married for life, till death us do part. But there was no point in blocking the divorce, so I had to go through it. And it took me 5 years before I realised why I had to go through it. Because I was praying, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why won't you change your mind? Why do you seem so far away? And so on. And at the same time, there was a lady in what was the Crawley Church at that time, also going through the same thing. We were sort of phoning each other and encouraging each other. God knows what's going on. He's allowing it for whatever reason. But what I understood after 5 years was I had my priorities in life totally wrong. And my priorities were business, wife, God. Totally the wrong way around. And also, I've just had another trial. I was saying about being 25 years in one place and having to move. And I didn't want to move. It was awful. I had so much stuff. I'd accumulated stuff and more stuff. And I had to either sell it or give it away to charity or dump it. And still, I had so much stuff. And it was only once I moved and was sorting out everything that I had left, which was still an awful lot of stuff. Like, I found I had 1,000 LPs. And I'm still counting my CDs, but they're over 1,000 CDs. Even though, a lot of them are for DJ purposes, but a lot of them were bought. And I realised I'd become a hoarder. And I found I had 1, 2, 3 of everything. Like 3 irons, 3 toasters, 3 coffee makers. And the classic, the ultimate was I had 4 wheelbarrows. Why does anybody want 4 wheelbarrows? But I'd become a hoarder, and it was as a result of going through this divorce and the depression for 5 years and so on. And so I was just buying things as a comfort sort of thing. So sometimes you find out why you go through a trial, some not, but suffering is good for us. That's why God allows it. In his plan, it's good for us. And it means change. 4 points. Romans 8:28. Jeff said this, I think. He said just about everything else. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Have the Spirit, you're a Christian, and God works out everything for our good. And I can see that about those 2 stories I told you. In the end, it was for my good. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're going to be in Christ's image. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called, whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. This is past tense. In God's eyes, we're already justified and glorified with a fantastic body, which I'm guessing, Brian Smith's speculation, we'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. So this new planet they found, which is 100 million light years away, we can be there like that. You know that, can't you? Right now, like that, you can be back at home in your mind, can't you? Speed of thought, wonderful. Second point, verse 38. Paul says, 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor east and west, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us, but we can leave him ourselves if we choose to. We're still free agents. We get to that stage. That's a, must be a terrible state to be in, but nothing else can separate us. That's point two. Hebrews 13:5. The writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. I wasn't, was I? I wanted three toasters and four wheelbarrows. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 31:5 and also Genesis 28:15 and Matthew 28:20. He will never leave or forsake us. But we can leave him if we so choose. So we can have faith in all these things. Yeah, I've used the F word. It's the first time I've used it, isn't it? Apart from the intro. So point four, Matthew 28:20. Jesus talking again. The last thing he said to his disciples, or start of verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the church's job. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And didn't he command us a lot of things in Matthew 5, 6, 7 and so many other places? And lo, look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we can have faith in that. Jesus said it. And all these other things that we've looked at are in the Bible. We can have faith that they're true and that they're going to happen, even if we can't see them happening in our lives now. They will happen. Can make it because God has decreed that we're going to make it. We must just stay faithful, be led by the Spirit, change where necessary, and have our faith.